Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you see, the Lord Jesus said in Luke 21, starting from verse 25, he said that, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now he says, still verse 25, there will be signs in the sun and in the moon, and in the stars and on the earth, and on the earth there will be distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. And then he says in verse 26, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Praise the Lord. Now you see, when he says there will be stars, signs in the heavens, the stars and all that, you know, there was a period around, I think about 2017, 2018, when there was a lot of talk about the four blood moons. Remember that? People rushed, wrote books, and did all sorts of things and said, four blood moons, what was the meaning of the four blood moons? Then the four blood moons came and went, and apparently nothing happened. After people had spoken so much about four blood moons, the first time in I don't know how many years, since there are four blood moons which all coincide with Jewish feasts. And it sounded spectacular, only it came and went, and apparently nothing happened. The world continued moving on as it was. The word there, of course, is apparently. Because, you see, some people think that when we read the signs, the big signs of the earth that were there, in the time of, let's say, great things that happened in the scriptures, wonderful things that happened in the scriptures. Now, when you read those accounts historically, they sound very spectacular. But for the people who were there, they were just simple things. Imagine there was one day when some men came from the east in Iran, came following a star, and other men were looking after their sheep and were visited by angels, and they were told there is a boy who has been born there. And like it's the whole of Jerusalem, life goes on, you understand. But something, the most powerful thing that ever happened in humanity has happened, but there is no star. Now, when you want to understand Bible prophecy and the way it works, don't expect stars, you know, like a real star, something in the news. Some of the things will be in the news eventually. I mean, the things that are happening, especially in this end time. But has it always been like that? Things happen, and they happen, and it's not in the news, and apparently life goes on. Now, only if an account was to be written sometime ahead, and they were looking back at our time, they would have seen that something changed. Amen? They would have seen that something changed. Go back to verse 25. And it says that signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And of course, there was a lot of that. There were so many signs, by the way. If you actually had had time to read the signs that happened around that time, the actual signs that happened in the stars, including stars aligning themselves, planets aligning themselves in the form of a cross and the Star of David, and so many other things which we do not want to get into, lest we sound like we are into astronomy. But so many things happened at that time, and they just about pass, and life goes on. But it doesn't. In actual sense, so many things have changed about that time. Now, but the changes that happen at that time start to be apparent a little time later. That's how spiritual things happen. Something happens in the spirit, and in the spirit something has changed, but it starts becoming apparent much later. Now it says, and there will be signs on the earth, distress of nations. Now, I want to tell you that there has not been a time like this, and there's not going to be any, where there is such distress of nations. It's not going to be there. where everybody is talking about nuclear. Have you ever seen anything like that? Russia is threatening. Russia, which has the biggest nuclear arsenal in the whole world, is threatening that if you come to our border, we are going to unleash. We are going to do anything possible. They are not saying nuclear. They are saying we are going to use any means at our disposal. And we all know they have even bigger nuclear arsenals than America. And then in America, Joe Biden gives a speech and warns of a nuclear Armageddon. Then in China, China had a policy that was saying that they do not use their nuclear weapons unless somebody has used them on them first. So they are saying we cannot be the first to attack. Then the other day they went and changed that policy and said, no, we have changed it. We are now at liberty to use them anytime, whether we've been attacked or not. Then you go to North Korea. North Korea the other day actually tested nuclear weapons and even flew their nuclear thing over Japan. For the first time, it had never done that. It goes into the sea, but not over a nation. But now they were doing it in the sea over Japan, after Japan, and Japan was in real distress. Imagine a nuclear arsenal goes right over you and falls the other side. And somebody says, don't worry, we are just testing. Now, and then Japan doesn't have them, of course. Doesn't have, so for them, they cry to America, big brother. Now, then while we are at it, also Israel is also saying, you people, be careful. We can also use nuclear weapons if we consider ourselves under big threat. Now, there is what is really called distress of nations. Now, the distress of nations doesn't just stop at that, because if you go a bit lower, there are riots all over Europe right now, because inflation, gas prices, energy, and all sorts of things that are eating away into the livelihoods of people. So now imagine you are in an economy, a first world economy, where inflation hardly ever goes beyond 5%. And you've lived all your life like that. Then suddenly, inflation is twice that and is the highest it has been in 40 years. Actually, much higher than it has been in 40 years. Then you are living in a country where you've never had a single power outage. Not once. If you are my age, in all your 50 years, you wake up in the morning knowing that there's going to be power and go to sleep knowing that in the morning there's going to be power, and at no one stage in your life has that been interrupted. Now suddenly, it is being interrupted, and they are telling you have to ration your power. And you've known all your life that in winter, we have enough energy to heat. In summer, when it is too hot, we have enough energy to cool ourselves down. And so it has been. Now you see, we might not understand this when we are in Uganda, because for us, we are used to systems which fail. You see, but somewhere, there's somebody who wakes up and knows there is a train which leaves here at 8 a.m. And it is going to take me 45 minutes to get to where I'm going, and I'll be in my workplace at 9 a.m. And he has lived his life, all his life like that. And the train indeed leaves at 8, and is indeed at work at 9. You understand? Now, when there is a slight disruption, in that now you see people beginning to distress. Now, the other day I was seeing in France, big protests. Big protests in France, big protests in Netherlands, big protests in the Czech Republic, in Italy, and in a few other European countries, and people are protesting energy prices, actually even in the UK. And they are saying, we support Ukraine, but we do not want to, we do not support them enough to disrupt our life like this. Now let Ukraine fight its own battles. And let man, life is hard here. Because initially I told them, you know, Russia attacked Ukraine, we have to stand with Ukraine. It's easy to say that until it starts affecting your pocket. And now suddenly all your savings have vanished, because energy prices have gone up by 70% in some cases. 70%, that's almost double. Fuel has gone up. Energy, by energy I mean the gas, what they used to heat. Then they are telling you, because of climate change, we have to close down nuclear plants which have been giving us energy and use windmills. The trouble is there is no wind. They are having the least windy fall, autumn, than so even the windmills are slow. Now suddenly everything seems to be in jeopardy, and now you're running onto the streets. Now they run onto the streets in distress, and now this is what it means in distress. The nations are in distress. The people are in distress. Everybody is in distress. And because they have trusted their governments, and the system of their government, and they knew it, this works, this has worked. We have never known it not to work. All our lives it has been working like a clock, you know? And life was good and was predictable, but now suddenly it is not. So they ran onto the street. Now, they change leaders, some of them. So they wait for elections and say, we are going to elect this person out and bring the other. But even the other one does not have a solution. Okay, when he comes, you realize that you are in the same trouble. Now, you look at a place like UK. The people run and say, Prime Minister, he's a minister, start resigning. He's not doing well. He says, okay, you want me out? I've gone. Then another lady comes. And then within a short time, she also comes and out of nowhere, she just comes outside 10 Downing Street with a piece of paper and says, also me, I'm cheating. I'm resigning as Prime Minister. Now you see, that is distress. Because nobody has chased her, but she has just seen that the chair is hot. And she says, let me go back to being a member of parliament or a member of the House of the Commons. This thing of Prime Minister is that. Now, guess whom they are trying to convince to come back? The guy whom they chased. Now, it shows real distress. And now it says even perplexity. Now, when somebody is perplexed, it means that something has happened which could not be predicted. Eh? It's perplexing. How did we ever get ourselves in this place? And then the sea and the waves roaring. Of course, you know what the sea and the waves roaring mean. Eh? Like tsunami and all that. Eh? We've all seen this, by the way, in our time. Okay, go ahead. And then it says, men's hearts fading. Now, this is what is of interest to me and us here, and what the Spirit of the Lord was telling me about. Men's hearts fading them from the fear and the expectation of the things which are coming on the earth. Now, if ever you really were in a place where your trust was in the systems of the earth, man, you are in serious trouble. Because there's not been a time like this when all of them are fading. You know, people ran away from here and says, our systems here don't work. We are going to the first world where systems work. They are soon coming back. They will soon discover that the systems work here better. Although although there is nothing that works like clockwork. If you have to be at office at 9, you leave home at 5. Eh? There is no, you can't calculate, but at least somehow. Because then it says, men's hearts fading. Now, you know, there's something which has been happening in the world, like heavy right now, in regard to what people have called mental health. And it might sound like, how come people were not having these issues before? Until you understand that it is part of something that the enemy is trying to do in this end time. And some of these things are judgments for people who do not fear God. Because there is no way I can be distressed. Because my faith is not in any system here on earth. Eh? Amen? You have to come to a place where you are absolutely sure that there is nothing about you that is based on anything here. Otherwise, you'll be distressed with the rest of the people. And it is so easy. And fear that comes of them out of expectation of the things that are coming to pass. Now, when you ask me, I am so excited about the things that are coming to pass. Praise the Lord. I see us sending certain people to flight. I see us taking control. I see, like, from where I stand, there is no cause for alarm or for distress whatsoever. I know that what I am now is the worst I am ever going to be. After here, I'm going to become better and better. Praise the Lord. And that is true for you. Amen? So now, how can I be distressed when I know that you check my bank account now, the money you find there is the least you are ever going to find there. After that, it will become what? More and more. And I'm sure of that because it's not based on anything that is on earth. It is based on the system that is of God. Praise the Lord. You see that people are anxious. There's a great deal of anxiety. And you talk to people and actually even support people who are supposedly at some stage in charge, in control. And you see that there is an alarming rate of people being anxious. We don't know what is next. Go ahead. Go to the next verse. Okay, there's one which I want, but it's also ahead there, but never mind about that. Now, let's first go to Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel chapter 12. And go to start from verse, I think, 15. Now, let me tell you something about what we are reading here. In the book of Ezekiel, what I've told you here, how things happen in the spirit and people never actually see them until much later, is exactly what was happening in the time of Ezekiel. In the time of Ezekiel, now you see, God, let me tell you something. God does nothing until he has revealed it to somebody, a prophet, Okay? And now it means he actually does nothing. You understand? But then he does not just, because the prophet has to pronounce it. God has no jurisdiction on earth unless it has been given to him by man. Do you understand that? Yeah. Because he gave the earth to the sons of men. Psalms 115 verse 16. Now, so he has to find a man who is born of a woman. Very important. To come for him to have jurisdiction. Where? On earth. No, I'm not saying that because of what you think. I'm saying that because even when God could not find a man to save man, God had to become man and be born of a woman. You understand? Because now he could not get any other man and say, Akena, go and save humanity. No, Akena could not manage. So God himself, and yet, as God, he had no jurisdiction on earth unless he's born of a woman. Amen? So now that's why he had to come and be born of a woman. Now, so he gets somebody to come and... Now, after that, everything else can be done by men. Somebody proclaims and says, this is what is going to happen. But then, God does not want to give somebody words just to go and say this. No, no, no. He tells you why he's showing you, why he wants you to say that. Okay? Because you're not a robot. You are never called to be a robot. So he calls Ezekiel and tells him, the house of Israel, of Judah, has rebelled against me. And they are going into captivity. Come and I show you what they are doing. So he carries him in the spirit and takes him to, and lifts him up in the spirit. And from the spirit, he's seeing the temple of God. And he's looking straight into the Holy of Holies. And now in the Holy of Holies of the temple of God, there are priests there sacrificing to Baal, sacrificing to the moon, turning this, facing the east and doing all the rituals in the Holy of Holies. Okay? Then he tells him, now you come and I also show you. Then he tempts him, and now it goes, and then in the holy of in the holy place where people come and give sacrifices, where they bring their lambs to the priests. When women bring their lambs, the priests take them and have sex with them in the Holy of Holies. And he's showing this to Ezekiel. Then after he shows it to him, then he tells him, now you've seen what is happening. Now therefore proclaim. Now he says, son of man, therefore say the following things. Now Ezekiel is not just saying, he has seen why God is telling him to say that. You understand? And God has shown him, this is why I'm telling you. See, now you see what they are doing. Okay? This is what you would not have known if I had not shown you. Now if God says, son of man, prophesy that this country is going to be destroyed. You say, "Eh, but Lord, why?" Until he says, okay, come and I show you something. Then he shows you exactly, because he knew, even the prophet knew, Ezekiel, that Judah could not be attacked by its enemies as long as the cloud of the Lord was still hovering over the temple. It could not happen. So now he says, tells Ezekiel, prophesy and see. Tell them this. Then the cloud of the Lord's presence moves from within the Holy of Holies, and he says it goes and rests at the threshold, at the door of the temple. And now he sees it has moved from there to here. Then he continues to show him other things. Then says, now prophesy again. Now the cloud moved from the doorstep of the temple and went and stood on a mountain somewhere in Jerusalem and just stood there. But even then, the enemies could not attack as long as the cloud is there. But then there were some other prophecies to be made. And eventually the cloud eventually disappeared completely and went. And then guess what happened? Nebuchadnezzar drives in with his troops and takes over Israel. But that doesn't take 1 year. Now you think that the destruction came in one... No, it doesn't. It has been ongoing. But in the spirit, it was already happening. In others, in the spirit, Israel was already without cover. And they had lost their protective cover. But things go on. But eventually, it manifests in the flesh as something not so good. Verse 17. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and what? And anxiety. And say to the people of the land, thus says the Lord God to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the inhabitants of Israel, they shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water with dread, so that her land may be emptied of all who are in it. because of the violence of all who dwell in it. Now, there's something I'm trying to show you here, is that when the protective cover of God goes over somebody or something, the first thing that comes is anxiety. Praise the Lord. Somebody who was very sure about himself in a certain area suddenly becomes anxious. And you know that there's something which has shifted. And now if you really know how to move with the Lord, the minute you become anxious, and then something which you were at some stage confident about, suddenly you are beginning to say, what if this happens? What if this? You know that the protective cover has moved. You can be in a job, for instance, for 10 years, and you've never once thought about what would happen if you're fired. Amen? And then suddenly, one day you start wondering, but what if they fire me? Just know something has shifted. Where did that thought come from? You just know something has shifted. Now, if you're a wise person, I mean a spiritually wise person, then you try to go and see what it is that shifted. Because how come in all those 10 years you were never once worried about what would happen if you're fired? Now suddenly something happens and you're concerned. And then it comes like a flood. Distress and anxiety. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Okay? And then the confidence all turns into fear, distress and anxiety. All comes onto you, and then suddenly everything becomes a struggle in your mind before it actually starts manifesting in actuality. And then you know it's just a matter of time before it actually manifests in real life. But then, now when the Lord told Ezekiel, go and eat your bread in front of them in distress. I don't know how you'd eat bread in distress. You know, there's a guy who... There's a guy who was my friend, a very funny guy from Machodi. He told me that, of course, he was just a clown. So he told me that he went to eat someday, and he said that, you know, for us, when we are eating, we start with the meat first, because konyi can come anytime. So now, maybe that's what it means by distress. So for you, you start eating, you eat everything else, and end with the meat. But when somebody is in distress, it starts with the meat. Okay, I'm just trying to imagine what it was like eating when you're in distress and anxiety. Eat your bread with quaking and drink your water with trembling and anxiety. Now, that is a sign which was supposed to show the children of Israel that your protection has vanished. Now you're open to your enemies in the spirit. It might be a while before they come in actuality, but you're open to them. Now you might be asking why I'm telling you all these things of anxiety and what, where, how does this, you know? Go to Proverbs chapter 12, I think verse 25. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Praise the Lord. Now, anxiety causes depression. And sometimes people are not anxious because they have anything to be anxious about. Sometimes they are just anxious because it's an attack. And you don't understand that it is the beginning of... When the enemy wants to attack your peace, you know when you're there, happy, living your life, life seems to be going on well, and he wants to destabilize, the first thing that comes is anxiety. And you wonder why you're anxious and over what. You know, one day my son told me that... For some reason, he started becoming very anxious. Then the next thing, he became very depressed. That's the progression. And then I realized so many young people are suffering from the same thing. Then he started becoming depressed. Then he became sad. Then everything was making him sad. Then he went through a period of real deep depression. And now where he was very sad. Then he told me, after all that period, and now nothing is... You're not happy about something. There's something like you. There's something that is making you not happy, but you don't even know what it is. But somehow you're not happy, and you can't explain why. Then after a very long period of that, one day he was lying on his bed, sad. Then he turned around, and the Lord Jesus was lying next to him, and he told him, "Now why are you sad?" And then suddenly the Lord started laughing, like laughing as if somebody had cracked a joke. And then he said, this is my son told me, then he said, when he saw the Lord laughing, he also started laughing. So then they laughed, then the next minute the Lord vanished. And that was the end of the sadness and of the anxiety and of the depression. Praise the Lord. Now, I asked myself, why would my son be sad? Now, because honestly, ask yourself. You might think that you're anxious because there is perhaps a reason. There is none. For instance, my son, is he worried about rent? Is he worried about school fees? Is he worried about what he's going to eat? Those are not his problems. Now, if me who is supposed to take care of that is not worried, how can the person who is just supposed to enjoy it be worried? You understand? So there is never a reason. It is just a spirit. And it can come, and because it's in the world, and it is something that has been sent into the world, if you are not careful, it can seep into you, yet it is not supposed to be your portion. But if you do not take care about the thing, it can seep into you and get inside you, and suddenly you become sad, agitated, angry, and it affects the people around you. If you're married, then, you know, everything is haywire. And then somebody's wondering, what's wrong with you? And it's just the devil. And a spirit which has been unleashed for the world ends up with you, yet you are not supposed to be there. Amen? That is not supposed to be you. But if you allow, now for instance, in his case, the Lord told him that there's certain music which young people listen to. And you see, when the enemy is attacking, he goes through these artists a lot, through so-called role models and artists and what. Now there was a certain lady, her music is very viewed on YouTube and what, and she's called Billie Eilish. And the Lord told her, now that woman's music is making so many people be depressed. But do you know what the woman does? She stays alone in the house, I think with a cat. So she's the picture of depression. You know when they say you become not just the messenger, but the message? She's the message of depression. She cannot stand anybody. But she's there churning out music, and young people are listening to it. And then the other day, Obama did his top six songs which he likes. And guess who was featuring prominently? Billie Eilish. Because their kingdom is the same. Their things are done in a concerted way, where they come at you at all angles. Now, if you do not know how to protect yourself and how to know that depression, anxiety can never be your portion, and it must never be your portion, praise the Lord. You really, really cannot let yourself go down that road, because once you go down that road, then also you start saying, when people say mental health, you say, yeah, you know what they are talking about. Who told you? Over what? Let me tell you. I see people here in this generation, and it's these devices that have spoiled young children and make them become very, very complicated human beings. Because in our time, when we were teenagers, in those years, like there is no place for depression. Remember I told you that you go for those holiday classes. Then you meet a beautiful girl and she tells you she stays in Ntinda. Then she directs you here, go here, here, here. Then you cram. There is no, what's that? There is no pin. The pin has to be in your head. You understand? Then you cram. Then on this day, you walk from across town and walk almost 8 kilometers. And then arrive there and they tell you she's not around. 8 kilometers. And then you'll not even be angry. You'd say, when do you think she'll come back? Then you say, okay. Then you turn another 8. And now you go, and life goes on. And all you needed were sneakers, which of course would be smelly. And life went on. And like here we are. But I mean, people get, now I was thinking, actually when my son told, I sat down and thought, what is he depressed about? What is he depressed about? And like you can get down that road. And then, after he had been through with that experience with the Lord, now he went and would meet schoolmates, his age mates. And then they are sad and what? Then he ministers to them and casts the spirit of depression away, and it goes. And then they also become happy. And then it's just a spirit. But you see, let me tell you, prophet told me, Prophet Elvis told me that he had a dream when there were so many people who were like mad. Human beings were walking on the street and they were like mad. Zombies. You see that in movies, eh? Now, that's what the devil is planning. You understand? Eh? But don't let that knock on your door through anxiety. But you see, the whole world is full of anxiety. People are anxious. People are anxious about what I don't know. Okay, maybe now you can say maybe there's a reason. But how can you let yourself go down that road? You see now, for us the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4, what? 6. Be anxious for what? For nothing. Do not be anxious about anything. But there's a reason, of course, why people are anxious. But he says here, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Do not let, and then he goes on to say, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, a good report, you know that scripture, eh? Then says, think about those things. There are things which you are going to think about and they will create anxiety. And you know it. But you will go down there slowly. Then it starts becoming enjoyable. And you can stop yourself and say, no, I'm not going down that road. It's going to make me anxious for nothing. And then you stop. And then all the things you've ever been anxious about, nothing, none of them came to pass. Am I lying? Think of all the things you thought were going to, man, this is the end of me. It can't be the end of you. You're here. But you see, if you, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. Okay? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, there are so many lies which people are anxious about. And now that's going to be the portion of the world. You wait, you'll see. When people, because the systems they depended on are shaken, people are very, very distressed, perplexed, perplexity. Now people suddenly, there was a time everybody was, we have to destroy all nuclear weapons. Now people are actually talking about using them. And now is that a cause of concern? It is. It is, because nuclear weapons are nuclear weapons. And then you discover that in America and also in Ukraine, they are buying some, what they call the iodate tablets for radiation, which reduce the effects of radiation in case of a nuclear attack, which means they're expecting it. Now for you, what would you take? The word of God. Eh? Yeah, it will not come. Like, you can be there and you know it is not coming to you. And like, you really know. And like, there is a place you be and you actually are totally unconcerned. And now you're looking at things happening from the outside as a Bible prophecy teacher. And then he said there is a war which is going to kill 2.5 billion people. But after they are all dead, I'm going to be where? In town. Praise the Lord. And it is there and it's going to happen. It's in the scripture. But man, why would I die? Eh? Don't I have things to do? Now, and then you're sure you're all dependent on the systems of God, which cannot be shaken by anything that is human. And now you can be distressed about where you're going to get your next semester's fees until you realize you're in third year. How did you get all the other semesters? Amen? Or any such thing. Anyway, go to, but there's a reason people are, by the way, let me tell you this. When you come in a place where people depend on spiritual things, like we do, amen? Like we do. There is nothing here that there is any... Now, the thing which God teaches everybody, okay? Now, if I was to ask how much it costs us to have this fellowship, and I asked you if we have that money in the bank, and we are sure next week's fellowship is going to happen, we probably don't have the money in the bank, but next week's fellowship is going to happen. 100%. Amen? It's not based on anything physical. It is not. Now, when you fail to understand that, and you come and live with people who are living spiritual lives, and for you, you choose to be a carnal person, you get yourself in very, very big trouble. I'm telling you, because you come and you are anxious amid these people who are living by faith. And to you, they look stupid. But to them, you are the one who is stupid. Praise the Lord. You see, let me tell you, there are Christians who laugh at Judas Iscariot today. But the things he did, they do. The only difference is they are not doing them to Jesus. And of course, the higher the anointing, the bigger the punishment. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But this is a very important time. Judas Iscariot is thinking, I can buy a piece of land. You understand? Yeah. How many people say that there is nobody who thinks like that today? We are planning something powerful, spiritual. And maybe there is some money involved. But somebody is thinking, I can make Njaura and buy a piece of land. There is nothing bigger that Judas did. That's it. Praise the Lord. That's it. When Jesus is there saying, this is the last supper we are going to have together until that day, what? Judas is looking at him, saying, now this guy is going to die. But the other guys who want to kill him don't know where to find him. So let me just go and help them to show them where he goes at night, where they can find him without what? Without any crowd. Because you know they used to be scared of the crowd. They could not arrest him in the middle of the crowd because they feared the crowd would turn against them. So they had to find a place where Jesus is isolated so that they arrest him. Now, of course, Judas knew that place in Garden of Gethsemane because Jesus used to go there frequently with them. So now Judas says, the man has said he's going to die. I am not the one who is going to kill him. Am I the one killing him? No. And he has not even told us to save him. He says, you leave me, let me what? Die. So I am just the innocent man who is pointing the killers where the guy is. And for that, I can go and buy a piece of land. What wrong have I done? Do you understand that? It is not. Some people think it's that difficult. It is not. But you see, when you live in a time which is of spiritual essence, and you bring certain carnal thinking, you can get offside in a way from which you might never recover. I am warning some of you. Because you see, some of you are here with a lot of carnality, and you think they are going to pay you little money to come and spy on me. And let me tell you, you will get into a place from which you might never recover. I am warning you. You might never recover from it. Never. So don't bring that stupidity of spying on me here. These things we are doing are spiritual. And I'm saying because I know there are certain people. Now you think, I've tried to make you see it from where Judas was. From the way I've described it, does it sound very bad? The way I just described, does it sound very bad? But you know what happened to the man? So when you are in a place where there are things which are happening spiritual, and you know it is spiritual, you know there is nothing. You know that the things we do, we trust in God and they happen. And then for you come with your carnality. They gave me money to pay rent so that I give them this information. Man, you can get hit. Not by me, by the way, I cannot. But you can get hit. Eh? And you can get hit in a way that you might never recover. We are living in very important times, by the way, let me tell you people. But the reason people get into this is because they become anxious. They become anxious. And I've told you all my stories. And you think that I just speak the stories for the sake of speaking them. But I've told you that when I decided to pursue the way of God, like I would wake up in the morning and I don't even have money to buy these sachets of Nescafe. You know, all I needed was coffee and some sugar to have some sort of breakfast. Sometimes with kasori. Eh? You know this kasori or moche. I prefer moche to mufumbi. Maybe that's why even I put kasori to be our symbol. Eh? Now that's all I needed. And by the way, I would go with that the whole day. If I had the coffee, because I've always been a lover of coffee. Eh? So if I had a sacket of Nescafe and some sugar, I didn't need milk. If it was there, it was an added advantage. Eh? But if it wasn't there, life is good. Then I put in my spoons and I eat my kasori. And man, I get out of home and go and make things up. And now at night I come back, usually with some food in the stomach. Then I sit outside my car compound there and pray sometimes up to 4 a.m. and then go to sleep. And that happens for 2 years. And there is nothing happening. Apparently, nothing happening. But I wasn't anxious because I decided that let me trust God and see where this leads me. So now somebody comes, finds something, and they just think that it just landed. Or maybe they think God is a respecter of persons. He's not. Praise the Lord. Because they become anxious, they start looking around, kubaza. And then they are destroying an order which God is creating. God is creating an order. They are destroying it for some small money. And then afterwards, they go and laugh at Esau, who sold his birthright for a plate of food. Go to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him." Now, I want you to look at it from the place of Gehazi. You know, so that you don't sound like you're all too... I want you people to put yourself in the place of Ananias and Sapphira. Imagine Ananias and Sapphira. And that wasn't even Old Testament. Imagine Judas. I've just explained to you the scenario. This man has told us he's going to die. Kati hatulisa atia. Let me just point these people there and say the man you want to kill is there. After all, he even says he wants to die. So the man you want to kill is there. And for me, you give me my 30 pieces of silver. Let me go and buy a piece of land. Now look at it from the place of Gehazi, the servant of the Lord, the servant of Elisha. Naaman has a servant girl, a slave girl from Israel. And she tells him one day that, "Why is my master suffering from leprosy? There is a prophet in Israel who can heal your leprosy." Now, Naaman, being a commander of the Syrian army, a big man, first of all, the fact that he even believed this. Now, you see, there are certain people who can... The fact that he even believed this slave girl and even managed to make something from out of it shows that the man at least had some faith. But then he also had some mayinja. So he cannot just come to the prophet. So he first writes to the king of Syria, his boss, and the king of Syria writes to the king of Israel. And in, according to their calculation, the king of Israel is supposed to instruct the prophet. So I think the prophet saw that, okay, this man is not a bad man, but his head is too full of protocol. So there is protocol. He cannot just come, a whole command of the army, and present himself. So anyway, when he came, Elisha could have said, no, I'm not going to work on you. But he told him what to do. And it was still supposed to be humbling enough. Now, when he humbled himself, still and wait and got it. Then he comes back with a big load of gifts for Elisha. And because Elisha knows that if he takes the gifts, this man will not understand why he did not even want to talk to him. You know, he sent somebody outside. Go and tell him. He did not even come. So the man carries his gifts humbly and says, okay, I've been healed. Let me get out of here. And then he goes. But then this man here, Gehazi, "Look, my master has spared this man." You know, he spared him. Like you see, the guy has come. Now, of course, he has come with big gifts because he's an army commander. Big gifts. And Elisha hasn't even looked at them. He's in the house. Go and tell him to wash himself. He washed himself and is now healed. Okay, tell him to go. He has brought gifts. I don't want them. Tell him to go with his gifts. So this man follows him. Go to the next verse. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments." So Naaman said, "Please take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to his servants. and they carried them ahead of him. Now, I want you to keep it there and just show some. You see, he went away with 2 talents, remember that, of silver and 2 changes of garments. Can you imagine? So he went with 2 talents and 2 suits. Okay, go ahead. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go and they departed. Go ahead. Now when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, "Where did you go?" Gehazi said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Now listen to this. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants?" Now just leave it there and read that again. The man just got 2 talents of silver and took 2 changes of garments. But now Elisha is telling him, is it time? In other words, he's telling him, a time is coming when you would have all this. But now you've spoiled the whole thing. Now, because people become anxious and they are not patient, they forget that God has something big in front for them. But they become very anxious and then they can't wait. And then they sell themselves and they end up with leprosy like this man. Now, he just took 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of clothes. But now, listen to what Elisha is saying. Is it time? In other words, you are going to get them. Now, let me tell you, Elisha, everybody who came to him for a prophetic word came with a seed. It was the custom. And he received it. So, obviously, he had a lot, right? Now, Gehazi was in line to receive the anointing that was on Elisha, the same way Elisha received the anointing that was on who? Elijah. But he fumbled, and this is what he's telling him. It wasn't time yet. You would have gotten much more than you've sold yourself out for. Now, there are people who are selling themselves out for very cheap things. And is it time yet to get rent when you could have had a whole housing estate somewhere if you had only waited a little? Now, I want you to understand that there is nobody who, when God is taking you through this school, there is no one whose plan it is for him to keep you broke. No. There is a big plan ahead for big things. Praise the Lord. Now, is it time to receive money and to receive clothing? That's what he had received. He started with the 2 things which he had received. Okay? Talents of silver and clothing. But then he added others. Olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants. Go to the next verse. Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. Now, look at this. And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've seen people who have been hammered by this leprosy. And of course, I don't mean leprosy. You know, it's symbolic. Eh? I've seen them in all my years in the church. I've seen people who are in line for powerful things. Powerful things. And you could see somebody and you knew they were going places. And you just knew it. They were going places. In different arenas. And then they just go and they're anxious. They're in a hurry. And then they mess themselves up. And then they give up a lot and end up with leprosy. And then they lose, almost all of them, they lose the spiritual track. They lose the anointing. And then they end up there. And in most cases, they have stories. They have stories. And I've seen so many of them with stories. I know we used to be like this. Man, I used to be like this, I did this and that. And let me tell you, every one of you here is going to get an opportunity to get leprosy. The thing about when we choose to serve God, we have chosen to give up certain things in the now because we trust that we are going to get better things ahead, right? Everything is based on that, by the way. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in you. You know that song? And it's a promise. But we adjudge God to be faithful. That if we go at his pace, there are good things for us in a good time. And we will enjoy them in the will of God. You understand? Eh? And everybody will look at us and be envious. But then there is a background to it. We followed the path of God. Now, if you let the enemy come and make you be in a hurry, and you start despising things which God actually puts a lot of importance on. Promises. The promises. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in you. Let me tell you, the only thing the devil has that he uses to beat people is he does not come with promises. He comes with actual things there and then. But he's giving you leprosy. And God is giving you promises, and he wants you to believe it by faith. He wants you to have faith in him, you understand? And when you take it by faith, you honor God by believing him. You say, you know what? I believe you. I believe I'll trust your way. And I trust that you have good things for me. And I will not be ashamed. And everybody will look at me and say that I made the right decision. And you believe God. And now that is what stands in eternity as an honor, that God came to you with a promise, and around you were things which seemed to be materializing faster, but you chose the promise of God. Nothing compares to the promise that we have in you. Praise the Lord. And now these things which people think, there's one more scripture I want to read, then I close. It's still in Luke chapter 21. First start from verse 11. We'll first go a bit to that, although we had kind of moved away a bit from it. He says, there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, and viruses, and lockdowns, pestilences. Praise the Lord. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Now he says, verse 17, although it's not the one I'm really interested in. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. That is still not the one I'm interested in, but first hold it there. Praise the Lord. You are hated, but not a hair of your head is lost, except through Chuwarat. Praise the Lord. Now we even have medicine for Chuwarat, so it will not be what? It will not be lost. But not a hair of your head will be lost. Now imagine that, because you see what so many people fear, and what happens is so many people are full of self-preservation, and they are scared of what might happen to them. Like, you know, where do I stand? Now we see nothing is working out here. I'm here. I'm nothing, you know. Where is my future? Man, you've never really believed in God. Because no matter what, even those people who seem to have so many things, they are scared. Now, if you do not learn how to trust in God from the beginning, now, me, who would not have a sacket of coffee, and now I have something, can I be scared? Because how did I get here? It's by the Lord. Amen? So has he been taken from the throne? No. As long as he's there, it's okay. It will be well with me. You understand? Because I taught my heart to trust him. And as long as he sits on the throne, I'm okay. And unless there is a coup in heaven. But as long as there is none, I will be okay. Praise the Lord. Because I put my trust in him. In him. And in nobody else. In him. And that is the basis of everything. All things. I've told you, I can sit here and plan and say we are going to have this time. And all the things I'm talking about are very cash intensive. And I don't even have even 1/5 of that money. But at no one stage have I said I'm going to do something and it does not happen. They all happen the way I want them to happen. Praise the Lord. Like, God is faithful. I am telling you this because I do not want you to get into down that path of anxiety of the world. And then you get yourself in all sorts of trouble. Because they'll recruit you for all sorts of things. The scripture says they were there having, the Last Supper. Then they dipped in the bread. And then he gave. And as soon as Judas Iscariot ate the bread, the Bible says Satan entered him. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine something so powerful, but somebody eats it and then Satan enters him? Because the mind had already been, his mind had slowly been taken away. And by the way, that's how it happens. The minds of people are taken away slowly, and they drift slowly, and they get off the foundation of trusting in the Lord. And then they start trusting in themselves. And then they think they have to work things out all by themselves. Let me tell you, the only cure for anxiety is surrender. Amen? Surrender. Like, now if I'm surrendered to the Lord, what can happen to me? But you see, if you are not fully surrendered, and you see now that's a message which is big for everybody. Because I see people who have never really come to the realization that their life is not their own. It belongs to somebody else. And they are just custodians even of their breath. Now, when you actually get to know that your life is not yours, man, you'll have the best life ever. How can Kableta ever be depressed? How is it even possible? Like, somebody is driving the steering wheel of my life, not me. There is nothing I do apart from obeying him. Amen? Not like, how do you see how easy it, when you get there, it's easy. But before you get there, it's very difficult because you want to be in control. But when you get there, like there's nothing. So now the things which are supposed to make other people anxious, you are not anxious because somebody else is in the driving seat. You can even doze a bit. But you doze when you're driving. And tell me where you end up. But now if you're not driving, you can doze a bit. Praise the Lord. Now the next verse. By patience possess your souls. Now this is, I wish people knew how heavy this verse is. By your patience, you shall possess your souls. Because the only thing the enemy has is hurry. Haraka. Like how long is it going to go? And then you're in a hurry to go there. Like Gehazi. To get just talents of silver and change of clothes. And then Elisha tells you, if you were not in a hurry, you'd have gotten olive groves, what, servants, what, and all these things. But you just hurried to get just these small things. You just had to wait for the time. And there is a time, and it comes. It never fails. Praise the Lord. It never what? It always comes. And it comes in a sweet, nice way, and then with the purpose. Now he says, by your patience. By your patience. Now I'm telling you, because some people, you are there, they come and tell you, want to recruit you to go and spy. And you're in a hurry. And you're going to end up broke. Broke. There's nobody who works with NRM government who is not broke. There's not a single one of them. Even the president is broke. He has to keep on begging for money. Then you ask, where does it? The devil's money. I'm telling you the truth. You go and see those people you think have money, and they have piles of money. They are the greediest. You cannot even. There's one. I know these are rich men. Very rich men. Whom you'd say are very rich. I knew them. So you go and sit with somebody. And so I'd gone to have a meal somewhere. Then I sit with him. I was alone and I found he was alone. So we sat and conversed. Then when the waiter comes, he asks for the bill. Then the waiter asks, that should I put them together or I just separate them? Now the guy, instead of saying separate them, started abusing the waiter. But why are you asking me? What? So I just said, no. Put them together and bring them to me. Put it together and bring it to me. Now, she put the bill together and brought, and I made it a point to give a very big tip to show this man that you're rich, but you're poor. You're very poor. Like there are people who are apparently, but let me tell you, the wealth is here. Do you understand? Eh? There is no wealth outside of God. Let nobody deceive you. They will give you money, but they will never give you wealth. Because it will seem to be as if it's going through pockets with a hole. Eh? And that's how all of them are. All of them, they are like that. You meet them, the man has been a minister for so many years, but he is broke. Then you say, eh? But then other people are running to be there. Then you say, there's something in this thing. How can you be a minister for 20 years and you come out looking this? No, and man, I wish I, like, there are guys who might, you look at the guy and you say, eh? Now, here in the path of, and now let me tell you this. And even admin told me, she also saw it, that you, sometimes I can tell people
who have been recruited because they become basiuf. I'm telling you. Now, there are those who are with us here who are broke, but they are pursuing the path of God. They can never be basiuf. Every time you see them, you see some glory on them. Eh? I'm telling you the truth. They might not have any money whatsoever. They might be having no money, but you know. Hey, you know that this person, you know, they like, at no stage do you see there's something, and I can see it on people. And I see it on somebody, and I know this one, they messed him up. He'd failed to possess his soul by what? Patience. By patience, you shall possess your souls. Just be patient. God is good. By patience, you shall possess your souls. Praise the Lord. Now, I can tell them. They think I can't tell them, by the way. Eh? They think they are very sharp. Eh? But I can tell them. And you just look and say, eh, what happened to this person? Some of them, it's not even that. Eh? It might be other things. For instance, somebody whom I knew, her parents are into witchcraft and what. So she had cut off and left them and what. And when she left their house, she changed. Now she started having a glory upon her. Like the spiritual things, you can see it. Now the same person used to come to me, and she's one of my daughters, and I love her so much. But when she left, I saw, this is something has changed. I said, what happened? I moved out. I got my own house. I said, yes. Now this is the beginning of something big. Then after some time, then she came back. I looked. Then there was something had, the glory had faded a bit. Then I realized now there was a connection back there. You know some of these connections which you do with even earthly people. You know people don't understand. The connections you do with earthly people. Now I'll tell you this. When they told me that they are dividing my late father's land, I told them I don't want a portion of it. Because you don't just inherit land, you inherit something that he had. And I don't want that. I want to inherit from the spiritual side. Eh? Unless your father was a Kableta and you want the anointing. And by Kableta, I mean me, not my father. Because he was, but I said, because you can get a piece of land and it defines you. And that's the truth. Some people don't know, but it's the truth. So you have to be careful. And so I told them, so they were dividing piece of land. Joseph, where is your land? I said, I bought mine the other side. That's where I'm going to build. So you don't want any here, I don't want. What about your sons? No, they are not getting here also. They will get from there, the other side. And then I cut myself off the natural. And I pursue the spiritual. Now, some people are too attached to their natural heritages. Eh? And it keeps on bringing you down. It's not. There is nothing good in it, for the most part. Eh? There is nothing good. It keeps on bringing you down, what? And then, yet you attach a lot of importance to it. And it just draws you back anyway. That was Nyongeza. It wasn't even supposed to be said. But what I wanted to say as I end, by your patience you shall do what? Possess your souls. Be in control of your soul. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be anxious. Don't let the devil give you a path to leprosy. And he can do that. Things will happen here in the goodwill of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman. And on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.